I'm an addict, my name is Flemmy. First things first, let me thank God for His mercy and for His grace. Because I understand that that's how I got here and that's how I stay. I can remember when I was in my active addiction, caught up, wanting to stop using but couldn't stop using. And I'd have a package and I would hit it after I broke off a nice little chunk. And I would begin to feel my heart race at a very rapid pace. And I felt that that might have been just my last hit, and I would go down to a position on my knees and I would call out to God and I would say, God, please help me. God, please help me. And I would pray until my heart would slow down just enough so that I felt that I was out of the storm. And I would reach up on the dresser and I'd break the other piece in half and say, that's some good shit. I ain't gonna smoke that much this time. There's two lessons in that. The first lesson is, just as held back. I didn't get the heart attack that I should have got. And the second lesson is, it's impossible for you to solve the problems that you have created if you're using the same thinking that you used to create your problem. I need to thank God for amazing grace. Thank you, Greg. That better? I need to thank God for amazing grace. You know, and I hear things sometimes in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and they don't really make sense to me. If grace is unmerited favor, then how did you earn your seat? So I need to thank God for His grace and His mercy. Second, I want to... The theme of this convention is one promise, many gifts. The promise is freedom from active addiction, but there are many gifts that we obtain if we stay in this process and take the suggestions and work the program and try to live by spiritual principles. There are many gifts that come as a result of that. But I want to speak about some of the gifts that can only come from the God of your understanding, because they're priceless gifts. See, we get cars and we get houses and we get outfits and we get wardrobes, but all of those things come with a price tag attached. But I'm talking about, thank God for peace, for joy, and for serenity. I want to give my wife a shout out. She's not here. That's one of the priceless gifts that the program has given me. I nudged her this morning and I said, are you going to the meeting with me? And she said, no, I guess we'll have to get the tape. Right? And some feelings came over me, my little paper-thin feelings and my little pettiness. And I said, I'm saying to myself, are you serious right now? By that time, she had the cover of her head. She said, give me a kiss. Make sure you take your coat because it might be cold on the beach and I'll see you when you get back, right? But I thank God for my wife. I've been married a little over a year. We've been in a relationship 7 years, and all that time is clean time. And for an addict like me that couldn't stand a relationship, because if you didn't do what I thought you needed to do when you needed to do it for me and how you were supposed to do it, I would fix you. And I would fix you by going out and trying to kill me and having, you know, just all kind of crazy stuff going on. So thank God for my wife. And if you're new in this program and you don't have a sponsor, please get one. I want to thank God for my sponsor, who I absolutely love. Thank Him for guiding me through the process of recovery, and thank Him for the relationship that we have. And get a sponsor, man. If you're sponsoring yourself, you're in trouble. And thank the committee for inviting me, man, to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope. I can remember when I was a little kid. Let me say this. John C. asked me, he said, "Flemmy, we don't have anything to hold the microphone. You think you're going to be okay?" I said, "Man, shit, I know how to hold stuff in my hand right there." Is he serious? Yeah, I know how to hold stuff in my hand. So, man, just thank God for recovery, you know. And thank God, man, for, I'm going to say this. I have a home group. My home group is the Star Group in Laurel, Maryland. Star Group stands for Star Talking About Recovery. And I have a sponsor and I have a network and I have men in my life who tell me what I need to hear and not what I want to hear. So thank God for that. Like, check this out, man. I can remember way before I picked up the uncomfortability that I had with me. I'm going to go ahead out and take a risk and date myself a little bit with this, but this is my story. Back when the West was very young, there lived a man named Bastard Son. Bat Masterson was a guy that came on TV and he had a cane. And he had a little derringer that he kept in his waist. And I couldn't wait for Bat Masterson to come on. Because I would run to get my cane. I would get my little derringer and I would put it in my waist. And for a half hour, man, I was Bat Masterson. Right? I'm talking about not being comfortable in my own skin at an early age. But one is too many and 1,000 never enough. Because when Bat Masterson went off, more powerful than a locomotive. Look, up in the air, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Superman, and I would come through the dining room with a towel around my neck, and I'd be flying and shit, right? And for a half an hour, right, I would be Superman, right? And then I moved up in the world, and one Christmas I used to just have one holster, but my mama got me one Christmas, she got me two holsters, so I had two hosts, so at that point, man, Wyatt Earp, right, was my next destination. So all I'm sharing is that even before I picked up, I was uncomfortable with me. I had a sister. I grew up with a sister, and my sister, her nickname was Brown Eyes. And everybody in the neighborhood wanted Brown Eyes' phone number, all the dudes, man, but I couldn't get a number to save my life. So there was some feelings going on with my sister. There was some resentments, and I was just still not able to be comfortable with myself. So I've heard people say that they were born an addict. I don't want to share that because I don't really know. I don't know if I was born an addict, but I know when I used, the addict in me was born, right? And I also know that I never really, really got high because I wanted to feel good. I was always getting high because I just didn't want to feel. The literature says that through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. I've always been incapable of facing life on its own terms. And I can remember, man, and I didn't really know all this stuff when I got here. It's through the process of step work, sponsorship, and meetings. I really didn't know that the defects that I got in touch with when I shared my fourth step and got to the exact nature that my sponsor pointed out to me, that I was practicing those things way before I ever picked up. I can remember that I would be in elementary school and we would have homework assignments. But who wants to do homework when the guys are in the alley playing football? So I would go out and I would play football. I wouldn't do my homework. And the next morning when it was time to go to school, "What's wrong with you, son?" "Mother, I think I'm having an asthma attack. And I don't think I'm going to be able to go to school this morning." Manipulation is what I'm talking about. It was prevalent in my life way before I ever picked up. I can remember the neighborhood that I grew up that we had an alley behind the house. You could park in the front, but you could park in the alley. And in the alley, they had garages. And in the garages, a lot of things went on that wasn't really about parking cars. And we would try to get the little girls, right, to go into the garage, right? And we would try to be promiscuous with them, and we try to get our little freak on, right? And I'm just talking about the lust that manifests itself in my life once I start using it, after I start using, was present way before I even picked up. So I'm clear that one disease but many symptoms. So I understand that just if I just come in this process, and if I just stop using and stay clean, that's the most important thing, because the literature says that staying clean must come first. But our literature also states that our only hope for recovery is a profound emotional and spiritual change. So when I got clean, man, I was like, you know, I mean, like, I hear people share that it's difficult for them to take suggestions, and it's difficult for them to have somebody tell them what they need to do. Now, I'm here to share that I don't have problems with taking suggestions, and never did. Because when I got down there on 4th and Rhode Island in Northeast Washington, D.C., and I said to Slim, that had the Timberland hat on backwards, cocked sideways, I said, "Who, Slim? Tell me who got that hard white that's hitting and holding." He said, "Go check Slim over there. Slim over there with the boots on. He got that thing that's hitting." And I would take the suggestion, and I would go over there, and I would ask Slim, "Let me get some of that. Let me get some of that." So I don't have no problems taking suggestions. And you know, I'm telling you, man, I want to share this first. And I'm going to get back to that. I want to share this first. If anybody right here now is going through something, and there's some uncomfortability that you're experiencing right now, I mean, it's just things just ain't going the way they should be going in your process, and you're doing the things that you need to do, but things just ain't going right, I'm here to report that most of the growth comes in the valley. See, if I ain't going through something, if I'm not in a position where I know that of myself I can't get out of what I'm in, if I don't understand that I'm in a relationship with a power greater than myself, and I'm the one that's powerless, and he's the one that got all power. If I don't understand that sometimes I just got to reach out, because see, the valley sometimes, right, is the pruning grounds. Because see, when I'm going through something, I ain't pointing fingers at nobody. I'm looking at me, because see, I need to understand that sometimes in order to get to the next level, I got to get out of that point where I'm comfortable at. Because see, I'm the type of addict that can get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I remember the first time I smoked a cigarette, man, I started coughing and coughing and gagging and shit. I'm saying, "Hey, what's going on?" But I kept coming back. Yeah, I kept coming back. And I remember the first time, man, when my father, they used to have little card parties. And I would wait, man. I would come on the steps and I'd peek downstairs and I'd wait. And when they all got finished, I would go and I would check the glasses. Yeah, I would check the glasses and I would hit that thing and it would be nasty and it would be bitter. But I kept coming back. So if you're going through something and you're new, please keep coming back, right? A lot of the gifts that I've been blessed with, I didn't really recognize at the time that it was a gift. And one of the gifts that I'm most grateful for is the gift of desperation. Because see, when I got here, like, I ain't got really a pretty story, right? My story ain't really that pretty. When I got here, I had one key, and the key that I had fit my house and my car. Delayed reaction. Right? Yeah, my address was a 1990 Buick Skylark. right? And I was living in the back seat of my car, right? And the car, my mama had put me out. Grown man, my mama put me out. Because, see, this is how I roll, right? This is how I roll. I might be the only one here, but I didn't come up on a white horse, so I don't think I'm the Long Ranger, right? I'm the type of addict that will steal your stuff and then help you look for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, I'm not only a thief, I'm petty with it. Yeah. My mama like, well, if you didn't take the money, baby, who took the money? Because ain't nobody in here but me and you. Did you check your other pocketbook, mama? Check my pocketbook. Yeah, man. You know, and I thought, man, that I was the only one that ever stole from their mother till I came to the rules of Narcotics Anonymous. So if you got something that you think that you're the only one that did, I'm sorry, I don't want to bust your bubble. Just keep coming back, right? So I was living, like, in the car, right? And it was in the back of an abandoned house on 3rd Street. And the back of the house faced Lincoln Road. And where it faced Lincoln Road was a cemetery. Right, it was a cemetery. I was dead. I was just still walking around, but spiritually I was dead. And I would get up in the morning and I would go down to the McDonald's on Rhode Island Avenue, right, and take care of my hygiene, right? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Because when I'm caught up in active addiction, man, I don't know about nobody else, but bathing ain't really important. And if I'm hungry and I got $7 or $8, I sure ain't gonna go get me no sandwich. Right? Because it ain't never about the rock I got in this hand. It's always about how can I get one more. So when I got here, man, I was desperate, man. And thank God for the gift of desperation, because I had been beaten down to a point where I was willing to take a suggestion. You know what I mean? They would tell me stuff like this, man. Like, check this out, Slim. We're going to call on you to share only if we're looking for one of them working 50s that you know about that they got down on Edgewood. Otherwise, what you need to do, Slim, is take the cotton out your ears and put it in your mouth and let us show you how to live life one day at a time. I'm like, no, they didn't. Do they know who I am? Yeah, we know who you are. Sit your crack ass head down somewhere over there. Yeah, and we're going to love you till you learn how to love yourself. But some of the love we're going to give you is tough love. Because in the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, it ain't about saving your face. And you can't save them both at the same time. So thank God for my process. I remember, man, my process started in recovery, and my clean date is September the 22nd of 1998, and through the grace of God and His mercy, I haven't found it necessary to use again. And I remember, right, I was in treatment, right, and I had been staying in this hotel that my son had put me in, because my mama put me out, called my son, said, come get your father, man, because I can't do nothing with him, right? And he put me in this hotel out in Virginia, and I stayed there for about 20 days and finally got into a treatment facility. And then treatment's part of my story, and it's not a requirement for Narcotics Anonymous. And this sister came up to me. I've been in treatment about 3 days, and she said to me, how much time you got? And I said, well, let's see. Right? It was September the 22nd when she asked this question, but it was September the 3rd when I went into the hotel, and I hadn't smoked no crack since then, but I had been drinking, right? And I said to her, let me see, the 3rd of September, just 3 from 22, I got 19 days clean. She said, you ain't got high 19. I said, girl, I ain't smoked no crack in 19 days. She said, oh, yeah? She said, when the last time you had a drink? I said, last night. So she said, the day you're clean, then I said, that she just want to have more clean time than me. What's wrong with her? Right. I'm just trying to tell you, man, that when I got here, I didn't have a clue, man. You know what I mean? I can tell you how to flip it. I can tell you how to shake it, right, and bring it back real hard, right? I can tell you all that kind of stuff, but I didn't know how to live one day at a time without killing myself, man. So they say, you need to get a sponsor. Say, yeah, you need to get a sponsor, you need a home group, you need to get in service, and you need to work the steps, man. You know what I mean? And I'm saying, okay. I mean, I'm saying that might be something that you have to do, but that don't necessarily mean... let me share this right now. I'm in denial about something. I just don't know what it is. So what happened was, because of the desperation, man, and really, truth be told, I ain't have nowhere else to go, right? I began to go to these meetings in the treatment facility, and H&I began to come in, and people was coming in, man, from Narcotics Anonymous, and they were sharing, man, their experience, strength, and hope, man. And I started to get some hope, man. And I can remember, man, after the 37 days, right? And I'm telling you, man, 37 days is like, woo, you know? I'm talking 10 pounds, 15 pounds later, right? I'm talking about a fresh haircut, right? Hygiene. I'm talking about, I'm on my way. Don't y'all know? And they said, Slim, man, you know what? It ain't about dressing up the outside, right? Because this is an inside job, right? And because the areas that need the most work, which is on the inside, you can't get to. But we got a program, Slim, for you, right? And if you follow this program, I promise you, one day at a time, your life will get better. So, 37 days, right? And I don't know about nobody else, but I'm a very, very, very intelligent guy. You don't really need to ask the question. I'll give you the answer anyway, right? But what I found out, that the most important things that I've learned are the things that I learned after I thought I knew everything. So after 28 days, man, 37 days in this facility, there were two options that I had. Actually, three. Option number one, halfway house, 6 months. Sound good to me. Option number two, transitional house, 1 year. Option number three, man, go on, roll on out, man, because your misery and your pain can be refunded, and we promised that it would be with interest. So the counselor told me, said, Fleming, based on the time that you've used and how old you are right now, I don't really think that 6 months is going to be sufficient for you to build the foundation to build a new life upon. So I'm recommending that you go to our transitional facilities, and that's a 1 year program, right? So I'm in my feelings now, but you know, I done been to enough meetings, right? I done heard enough spiritual stuff, right? So I hit him right off the bat with some spiritual stuff. Bam! I think I'll pray about it. I think I'll pray about it and ask God, because I know if I ask God, God will give me the answer. And he looked at me and he said, son, you might want to consider this. Maybe God has placed me in your life right now to give you an answer that you can't find on your own. I got some more stuff for him, right? Now I'm gonna hit it with my NA thing now. I think I'll check with my sponsor. I checked with my sponsor. He said, yeah, man, go ahead down there, man. That'd be the best thing that ever happened to you. Man, I'm mad at his ass, right? I'm mad at the counselor, man, you know what I mean? I'm mad at everybody, you know? And thank God, man. Thank God for God, man, because he touched my heart and he said, man, that's where you need to be. And I went down there, man, and I got busy, man. You know what I mean? I've heard things like, man, don't worry about working the steps there. You just stay clean. You just stay clean. If I could stay clean, and not use, man, I wouldn't be in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, man. The literature says the sooner that we face our problems. So I went down there, man, and I got a guy, man, that's standing back there, man, right now, man. He was a house manager. And I started going to meetings every day. On the weekends, man, we would double up. I'd go to two or three, right? And I said, man, you know what? He said, man, you need to work the steps, man. He said, because the steps are the way up and out, man. And if you want to get better, you got to work the steps. And I said, I want to get better, but shit, I ain't really never been too keen on working. And it says step work. It ain't step play. y'all ain't hear me. It's step work. It ain't step play. Right? Basic text, page 19. As a result of attending a few meetings, we begin to feel like we finally belong somewhere. It is in these meetings that we are introduced to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. We learn to work the steps in the order that they are written and to use them on a daily basis. The steps are our solution. The steps are our survival kit. They are our defense against addiction, which is a deadly disease. Our steps are the principles that make our recovery possible. So I start stepping, y'all, and I tell you, man, the flat book wasn't out, so I had a guy from the other fellowship called the Hazleton guy, right? And I started working steps, man, and you know, man, things really start to change, man. It wasn't that the world was getting a whole lot better, but I was starting to get better with the world. You know what I mean? And I began to work my steps, man, and I was going to meetings, man, and man, I'm like, you know what, man, this thing is good. You know what I mean? And I finally realized, and I don't really know when it was, but I finally realized, man, it's been about a week or two, maybe 3 weeks, and I ain't thought about getting high. I'm like, man, this is amazing because I don't know about nobody else, but man, the obsession, man, you know, sometimes people say like, man, just let go and let God, man, just turn it over. But sometimes, man, I want to stop thinking about it, but I can't stop thinking about it. It's been so many times, man, in my life where I didn't want to do something, but I did it anyway. Because I always had the solution. Solutions. I had them. Take the $20 bill that you're going to get that rock with and put it in the pocket with the zipper on it. Now, you know you promised your wife some money, so put that money that you told her you're going to get, put that money right there in the sock and don't mess with it. Now, you got to buy some groceries, so put that in the back pocket over here. Zip that up, right? And leave that alone. And you told the children that you were going to take them to the movie, so put that money over here. Now, you've worked all week and you've been good, so just go get one rock. I don't know about nobody else, but one ain't part of my story. One is too many and a thousand never enough, right? And before the night was over, I had my high beams on. And right, turn the music down, turn the music down. Yeah, I always had solutions, but my solutions didn't work, right? Powerless, man. I'm powerless, man. I'm powerless, man. I'm just as powerless today as I was the day when I walked into rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, man. The only difference is you guys have given me some tools to work with, right? I remember my first convention, man. My first convention in Ocean City, man. I came down here in 1999 in March. And you talking about some hope, man. Man, I had never seen... I didn't know it was this many addicts, right? I ain't never seen this many addicts, man. And man, you know how we do, man. Cause when we start doing all right, man, we gonna let you know. And we gonna put it on, and we gonna drive it, and we gonna cut up, and we gonna enjoy our life. And that's what this journey is all about, man. So what I did was, man, you know what I mean? I started stepping, man. You know what I mean? And I was in I got clean in an area that is a recovery area. And when I left the transitional facility, I got me a little one-bedroom apartment. Man, I was so psyched, man, right? I was psyched, man. I got me a little one-bedroom apartment, and it was mine because my name was on the lease. I need to say that again. My name was on the lease. It was mine. It wasn't my boo's place. Yeah. I'm talking about having the seventh tradition in my life, being fully self-supporting through my own contributions, right? Right. And check this out, man. I had a job, right? And I was parking cars. And I was making $7 an hour. I had a uniform, and the uniform had my name on it. I hated that shit, man. You know? But see, sometimes, man, if you don't practice some humility, you'll get humiliated. So see, sometimes God has to bring you to a point where you can see that you can't do this thing all by yourself, man. So I had my little uniform. I got my little apartment, man. I'm walking to work, right? I'm walking to work, right? I get paid on Friday, right? And I walk to the Giant. I walk to the Giant. I come back with two bags of groceries, right? And I cook. I cook on Sunday, and I eat Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then I cook on Wednesday. I eat Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then on Saturday, I'm like, I hope somebody invite me to a cookout or something, because, right, I, you know what I mean? I just ain't got it right, man. But I was walking to meetings every day, and I was starting to grow, man, and I was sharing my experience, driven hope, and they would be like, well, Fleming doesn't have that much time. Why is he sharing on the fourth step? And it's because Fleming had worked the fourth step, right? And I had some experience with it, and I was sharing. So I'm gonna tell you, man, it was uncomfortable because some of the people that had more time than me had did less work than me. So I would be walking to the meeting, and they had more time, so they had new cars, so they would pass me by the meeting, and they would blow, bah, 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 hey, Fleming. And I would get to the meeting, man, after I walked about four or five more blocks, and they gonna come up and they wanna hug me. Don't you hug me? Why didn't you give my ass a ride to the meeting? But guess what? I hugged them anyway. Because one thing I'm in touch with is God don't bless me based on what you do to me. God bless me based on what I do for you. So I hugged them anyway and told them just keep coming back. Cause see, I got a relationship with a God of my understanding. It's going to be all right if I just keep coming back. You need to get in touch with that, man. You know what I mean? I ain't going to take your inventory. I'm going to take mine. You know what I mean? So I would go to meetings, man. I kept coming back, man. I kept going to meetings, man. And I kept coming back, man. And then I guess I had about 4 years clean. And I finally got a hoopty. Ha-ha! I got a hoopty. Man, I got a Cadillac, right? And it was an 87 Fleetwood Broham. I had leather seats, right? I had power windows, power seats. I had cruise control, right? and the back seat of my Cadillac, if you know the 87 Cat, it looked like a sofa. He rode in it, and I said to myself, man, I wonder why I got this Cadillac, man. It's just such a blessing, right? And one day, man, God touched me and said, you remember when you had to walk to meetings? You can put four people on the back seat. And you can put two on the front seat with you if you pull that pimp stick up. Yeah, you need to take some newcomers to meetings. So that's what I did, man. I took people to meetings, and we went to meetings, and we'd be riding to the meetings, and somebody would have the literature out. We'd be reading, and we'd be sharing, right? We'd have a meeting on the way to the meeting. We have a meeting at the meeting, and then we have a meeting on the way home from the meeting. You know what I mean? And God was blessing me. You know what I mean? And you know what, man? It's impossible sometimes for you to see the picture when you're standing inside the frame. So what was happening was, man, I didn't really see that I was growing, but I felt better about myself. But other people were saying, you know what I mean? Like, I could go to my mama's house and she wouldn't walk around with a pocketbook on her shoulder. You know? I had 5 years clean, and my mother said to me, son, I think I need to get you a key made to the house. Now, my mama took my key before I got clean. And I said, Mama, I got 1 year clean. Mama, I got 2 years. I got 3 years clean. Mama, I got 4 years clean. When you gonna give me a key to the house? My sister got one. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I kind of like feel like you should have break me off a little something. But it was a powerful lesson that God taught me in that, because he said, son, just like you got your process, everybody else got their process. I'm working on you and I'm working on them. And when she see enough evidence, see, because trust ain't something somebody give you. Trust is something that you got to earn. So when she see what she need to see, she'll break you off. 5 years clean, man. I'm excited. My mama gave me, I said, Mama, I got 5 years clean. She said, yeah, I got 78 years clean. What's the big deal? Keep coming back. Say, you just keep coming back. Going to the meetings, whatever you're doing, working them steps, just keep doing that. You just keep coming back. Right? So I learned a valuable lesson, man, because, see, sometimes, man, you know, and I'm just sharing about me, see, because I went through my first cycle of steps, man, and I got kind of arrogant. Yeah, man, because I knew some stuff. What page is it on? I'll tell you. Hey, we used to ask Flemmy, what page is it? Yeah, I'll tell you. So I read the basic text. I know what page it's on. I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you. Plus that, I'm on my second cycle of steps right now. What step you on? So I finished my second cycle, and I asked my sponsor, say, you ready to get started on the third cycle? He said, no, what I want you to do now is, see, what you need to do is you need to learn to live what you know. Because if it ain't in your feet, it ain't making no sense. See, it can get in your head. But if it don't get in your heart and end up in your feet, if you ain't living this program, if you ain't helping somebody slim, then what you doing? So I kept on going, man. And you know, man, I got another job, man. And I finally got another job, man. Because I went from $7 an hour to $12 an hour. And the guy said, man, that's it. We can't pay you that. No, that's you the most expensive car parker that we got. Say, you at your ceiling, Slim, at $12, man. You can even get something else to do, man. And that's where you at. You at 12, right? So I had some experience in some other things before I got clean, but man, I was so afraid. I was so afraid, man, that the money would take me out. I was so afraid that if I start being prosperous, man, that I wouldn't really know how to handle it, man. But I tell you, man, God is so good, man, and he won't give you no more than you can handle, man. You know what I mean? And when the time is right, you're going to get the increase. But see, I'm the type of addict like this, right? All I want to do is show up on payday. I don't want to punch the clock Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Just give me the paycheck. But life ain't like that, man. Life ain't like, if you ain't putting nothing in the bank, you can't get nothing out the bank. So I got another job, man, and I started moving on, got me another apartment, got into a relationship. I got a relationship, man, and woo! If you really want to find out if you work in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, get in a relationship. And you will find out what you're working on, you know? And I'm married to my wife now. My wife, you know, we've been together 7 years. I've been clean almost 10. She's been clean 7. And we got married and it's a good relationship, man. You know, I don't sponsor her. She got a sponsor. She don't sponsor me. I got a sponsor. You know what I mean? I work on me and she work on her, and the relationship is getting better. So, man, I finally, man, got another job, man, and start moving up, man, and God bless, man. You know what I mean? You know, gone to the convention, was in Hawaii at the convention, in Bermuda at the convention, man. I've been traveling, man, been doing things, man, down here at the convention, man, and, you know, God bless me and my wife. We got a home and all those things, man. But I'm just saying, man, it's only because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? It's only because I came in here, man, and was willing to take a suggestion. You know? I'm just grateful, man, to be here, man. I remember my first convention, man, and I said, man, this is a powerful experience, man. You know, the literature says that, you know what, man, some of us are asked to sometimes share at meetings and stuff, and then some of us, I've been blessed to be able to be asked to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope at this convention, man. And I'm truly grateful, man, and I thank God for everything, man. I don't take credit for nothing, man. What I do is, man, I just show up, man, and do the best I can one day at a time, man. So I'm an addict. My name is Fleming. Thanks for letting me share.